And so over the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at this series. It was good, and have looked at the beginning of time, space, and matter. You know, where God created the heavens and the earth, and we saw that he cast Lucifer, or Satan, out of the heavens, bringing darkness to earth. But God continues and creates a beautiful world. Last week we saw that on the first day, he separated his light from the darkness. We saw on the second day that he made the sky and the waters. On the third day, he separated the waters from the earth and gave us vegetation. On the fourth day, he created the sun, moon, and stars, giving us time and also allowing them to reflect his light. On the fifth day, he created water and sky animals. So the water creatures that we like to fish and the sky animals were created on the fifth day. And in all God's creation, he gave them the ability and the command to multiply, to fill the earth. And he set up a great place for humanity to come. But creation isn't complete yet. As we know, there's one more day of creation in Scripture. And it's the big day, if you will. Understand, if you're an artist, a creator, a builder, usually you have a favorite creation that you have made. Yeah? You have that one that you can remember that you really appreciated that piece, you enjoyed that piece, you displayed that piece. You talk about that piece, you explain that piece, you have a reason for everything on that piece. I have a friend who used to build trucks, well, sports cars, and he souped them up and slicked them up and made them look cool, and he had this little pickup that was, I was never going to get in it because, you know, it was about that tall, and if I got in it, I'd never get out, but it really looked cool for little people. We got some guys in the church here that like to do work on cars. Brother Jerry used to have a pickup truck that you couldn't find a door handle. You wouldn't know how to open a door. It was just souped. It was cool the way he slicked it up. And Braden's got some cars that he likes to soup up, and I'm sure he's got one that he could brag about the most and really sure that he put work into it. He invested in that one. That's one that has purpose and meaning to him. Well, with all of God's beauty that he's created, with all the awesomeness that God has displayed, he's not done yet. We haven't looked at his greatest piece. We've not seen the one that he describes the most. The one that he really invests in. So after last week, we arrive at day 6 of creation. And right there in Genesis chapter 1, go down to verse 24. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being a good God that only does good things. It provides good things. Lord, I ask you to put your hand on us. We're challenged from your word today that we remember your awesomeness. Remember how you created us. Remember your desire for us. And Lord, I ask that you have your way in each one of us. We thank you for loving us the way you do. Lord, I ask that you'd speak to us through your spirit and your word today. In your name I pray. Amen. Day 6, he creates the land animals. No, that's not his masterpiece. No, that's not his favorite piece. But the day is early. The sixth day has a lot to it, of big, important things. Here we see that God created three classes of animals in the beginning of the day. He had already created water animals and sky animals. And now he gave us three classes. Remember, each class, even when he talked about the birds and the fish and the sea animals, said each one after their own kind, after their own species, after their own family. They don't evolve into other kinds. God created them specifically within their species. But the three groups that he specifies here on this sixth day, as he says in the King James, he says cattle. The word can also mean livestock. If you look at another version, it might say livestock. The animals that God created here may be more tame than the other ones. Animals that man can raise. They can use for food. You can have a steak. Yeah. They are rough. Nobody's hungry for a steak? Okay, I got one amen, and it happened to be a lady. Oh, here, Craig's. Okay, Craig's in it now. Day six was a special day. God made steak. Thank you. I put people to sleep and I hardly started. I'm like, thank you. See, he created animals to be raised and tamed for food, also for clothing, but were used for travel, more to calm animals. And we're most familiar probably with the cattle that the King James specifies. As we see them all around here, cows, but it also includes stuff like horses, donkeys, camels, oxen, the sheep, the goats, the pigs. He created them on that sixth day. But he also goes on to say the creeping things. That's the animals that have no legs or little short stubby legs. They hide, they scoot, they slither. That's probably the day he created insects that we all love. They're smashed against your windshield right now, aren't they? Maybe the day he created snakes. My son loves snakes. He wets himself even when they come on TV. Oh, I didn't mean it, Si. I'm taking it back. The day he created worms and ants. Maybe this is the day he created alligators and crocodiles. But then he also, the third classification gives is beasts of the earth. It seems the more wild animals, lions and tigers and bears. You see, it's when he created those big things, the bears, the wolves. Now, here's where he would have created, you with me? Probably the dinosaurs. We're not anti-dinosaurs, by the way. Scripture talks about dinosaurs. Now, not the exaggerated weird things that they create today, but the Bible does specify them. Just a quick stat. Did you know it was over 90% of dinosaurs were about as big as a sheep? Yeah, I'll leave it right there for their study another time. Beasts of the earth, those wild animals he created into. The power of God to just speak those animals into existence. If you notice in verse 24, it starts with, God said. And it ends with, and it was so. And now how it should be in our life. When God speaks through his word to us and we learn something in his word, should it not be applied to our life and we say, Almighty God, it is so. Right here in creation, God says, let it be. And it was like that. By the word of God, creation came to be. And we saw through all creation so far, by his word, light, heavens, earth, sun, moon, stars, vegetations, animals. And the verse 25 again, he looks back. In verse 25, he looks back upon his animals that he just created. Again, he says that he saw that it was good. He saw that it was good. The holy God, the Almighty One, saw that his creation was perfect. It worked together peacefully. It fulfills his purpose. It was ready now for his main creation. For his masterpiece. He can create what he looked forward to. He can create now what he had prepared everything else for. Look at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Notice again, God's word said, God said. Notice he voiced his plan. He voiced what he's about to do. He's going to create mankind, but not in the same way he created everything else. Here's a unique way now. For 6 days, he's been creating things just by speaking them into existence. For everything else, he just spoke and poof, there it was. But for mankind, he went further. Go to chapter 2. Chapter 2 is more specific of the breakdown of the creation of man. Look at verse 7 there. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Wow. That's a lot more intimate than he did for the animals, than he did for vegetation, than he did with light and darkness, with waters. God took a pinch of dust, of dirt. You may say, ha ha, man is dirt. He took a bit of dirt that he had just created holy perfect. It was clean, it was pure, it was good. And he created man, he formed man. And when he formed man, he breathed into this man's lungs the breath of life. What gave this man life? The breath of God. You can imagine as he formed this masterpiece after his own image. And he breathed life into man. Very intimate act he has here. Then God provides something special to man. Go down to verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of his garden thou mayest eat freely. Understand, God placed Adam in an amazing garden. Now, there's more description of his garden in previous verses. Hopefully, you read along with us last month as this was our chapters. But he provided the needed food in this garden. Understand, he also provided man a job. Men were created to work, to do stuff, to accomplish something. When you don't, that's why you start getting depressed, why you get in trouble. You don't fulfill God's purpose. He created man to work. Even in a perfect world where there was no problem, he gave him a garden to dress. And he gave him all to eat, anything he wanted, but he ruled out two trees is all. Adam had all he needed. A good life. I'm picturing a Garden of Eden. He had a big screen TV. He watched the NFL every day. So far, he's the only one there, right? He's throwing the ball, he's catching the ball, ain't nobody tackling him. It's a good game. But he had all he needed except for one thing. Look at verse 18. Now the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet. Or I'll make for him a helpmeet. See, for so far, God has said everything is good. But when he came to Adam, who he created in God's own image, he looks at him and says, there's something missing here. Why? Because he's created in God's image, and God will create, trying to say this in a way to make sense. In the image of God, you will have fellowship. God has always had fellowship. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They have always been and always been together, and they're always in contact, always fellowshipping. That's why we see the Son pray so much while he's on earth. When Jesus came to earth, you were studying through the New Testament. You see Jesus prayed and he prayed and he prayed and he prayed. What is fellowship with the Father? And Jesus walking the earth, we see the Holy Spirit with him, the Holy Spirit here. There's fellowship together. God created us in his image to have fellowship. Well, he needed fellowship. Look at verse 18 again. And the Lord said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. Now, one more provision that God wanted for Adam here is someone to help him fulfill his purpose. Adam had purpose. Notice in 128, chapter 1, verse 28, he gave all creation a job to do, and that's to reproduce. Adam's by himself. Some people haven't figured out yet that it takes a man and a woman to reproduce. Can I get an amen? Okay. And a man alone can't do it. Here's a little extra one you can take in your notes. A man with a man can't do it. A woman with a woman can't do it. God's design is the only way that fulfills his purpose. God said, I'm going to create a helpmeet for him so that he can fulfill his purpose. He can accomplish his job well. He can reproduce and fill the earth as I have commanded him to do. And so only in God's design are we going to fulfill his purpose. But go down in chapter 2 here, verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now God's created man and woman. It cost Adam an arm and a leg almost, a big chunk of his side. In the beginning, a wife was expensive, amen? But in the beginning, a wife was a blessing, okay? Just make sure that's clear here, okay? I don't have my glasses on. I can't see if you're mad or smiling. I'm going to go with the smiling, okay? But understand here, God created him for fellowship together, to enjoy one another. And he's placed them together. And so far, his purpose is to care for the garden and enjoy fellowship with God together with his wife as they fill the earth. I want to also look at the purpose here. Everything God does has a purpose. When God does things in your life or allows things in your life, there is a purpose. Right here, there's a purpose. God didn't just create man and woman and say, look what I can do. He had a purpose for them. We've talked about this many times. It's a very important part, and people have asked questions, so we're going to direct it a little bit today. You and I were created with this purpose. In verse 27, I think in chapter 1 now. I'm sorry I didn't tell you. Go back to chapter 1. Look at the purpose for which he created man. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Man was created after God's own image. Nothing else in Scripture says that. I'm sorry, how much you love your doggy, he wasn't created in God's image. He did not receive the breath of God. He wasn't created in God's likeness. He was created. He is God's creation. We can enjoy him. Now, cats, they came after sin. There's only one good cat, and you can imagine which one it is. Still laying in the street. No, I'm just... Whoops, slipped. You are all thinking it, too. But understand, we were created in God's image so that we would carry God's image. Your responsibility is to carry God's image. All creation testify of the awesomeness of God. All creation testify of who he is. But you and I are unique. We carry his image. Listen here. The heavens declare the glory of God. Psalms 19:1 tells us this. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The creation testifies of how awesome God is. You look at the sun, and you know the creator of that sun, he's pretty powerful. You look at the flowers of the field, and you know that creator is pretty beautiful. You look into the ability for creation to reproduce, and you know, man, that creator, he's wise. You look into the provision that he's given, the food, the home, the materials that he's given to us, you know, man, that creator is loving. You see, so all creation testifies of God's awesomeness, but man goes further as we were made in God's image. Here's a simple area of his image. Do you notice in verse 26 that what he gave man? Look at verse 26. You come up with the one word that God gave man. Catch it? What did he give us? Dominion. Dominion. Dominion over everything on earth. He said, man, I want you to control it. You be in charge. We have authority over all animals. We are a higher creation. No, I'm not equal with your dog. Even though I am Barker, but you know. That's how it is. God did not create me equal with an animal. So I said before, make people upset. But your puppy dog is not a child. It's not your grandbaby. You can call it that if you want. But understand, a true grandbaby is much more precious in the sight of the Lord. Has a much higher calling. We have dominion over all creation. As God is sovereign, has dominion over all, on earth he's given us dominion over the animals. If you remember, Adam's job was to name them. He got to name them. Some of those ridiculous names could be Adam's fault. Try to say the Latin names, that's even better. Now you go home and look up, what's the Latin name of an animal? Right? What else did he tell? He told Peter what about animals? My favorite words, kill and eat. He told Peter that, book of Acts. He said, kill and eat, enjoy. We are to have dominion over animals. Kind of a small picture of God that has dominion over all, gives us dominion on the earth. In God's image, we have dominion. God used himself also as a model for our creation. You with me? God used himself as a model for creating us. I'm creating you in my image. Notice in verse 26, it says, let us make man in our own image. That's the first hint what that means like. Let us make man in our own image. Who's he speaking to? It's plural. Who's he speaking to? We talked about him being there already. The Trinity is there. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are present right here. This is plural because he's talking to the three persons of the Trinity. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are present. He said, let us make man like us. Not being gods, but to carry our image. See, in God's image, we too are three parts. As God is three parts, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the man is three parts, as in the body, the spirit, and the soul. We are three parts. Listen to this verse. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, he tells us about those three parts. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I want all three parts, the spirit, the soul, and the body, to be blameless, because that is the image of Christ, that you be holy until the coming of Christ. He said, I want you to use all three parts that you were created in the image of Christ to reflect him. The body, which we know as the flesh, is the part that is the most focused on. I'm not saying exercise isn't good. I just don't like it. But if you're exercising your body and you don't exercise your spirit, you're failing. Because you're exercising the temporary part and you're ignoring the eternal part. What's more important? See, the body is that first part of what we know being an image of God. As in Genesis 2:7, he says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." That's the body he created. It took a pinch of dust and formed the body of a man. God used dirt to make a house for us. Irony, in many countries, they still use mud to make houses. He made a house for our spirits that we call the body. And understand, it was a holy body. God created man holy and pure. And with that body, then he gave us a spirit. The spirit speaks of our relationship with God. That he has given us a spirit. In Genesis 2:7, we saw earlier that he goes on and says, "And he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life." God gave us this spirit right at creation, a holy body, and he gave us a Holy Spirit. And he gave us life through this spirit, his own breath. This is a big difference from the animals. He gave us this Holy Spirit. This is a part that dies when sin pollutes your body. When you commit that first sin, this is the wages of sin is death. It's speaking here because of sin comes into you, death also comes and it kills that spirit within you. Only faith in Christ will allow the Holy Spirit to have life again within you. So we have the body, the spirit, and we also have the soul. The scripture talked about it. The soul is different from the spirit. Some will lump it together. But soul is this is your person. This is who you are. Your being. When God gave us life, we became an individual. We're all different in here, aren't we? Can we say amen for that? Imagine you all were like me. Now you can say it. We're all different. You're the only one. I'm kind of flattered. But no, understand, God created us different for a purpose, to use us. To use everything about you. We talked about this in Sunday school a little bit. That everything about you was given to you to use for his glory. To proclaim him. But if you notice in Genesis 2:7 also, it ends there. That, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul." A living soul. A living individual, a living person. This is what makes you new, unique. Allows you to act and think differently because it is affected by sin. It stops you from reflecting the image of God. If it wasn't for sin, everything about our person, our soul, our being would be righteous and holy. But when sin comes into our life, it starts to separate us from our purpose, why we were created. It takes away that holiness. It's a reason that after placing faith in Jesus Christ, we are commanded by the Word of God to be conformed to His image again, to let His Word direct us and guide us so we can again reflect His image, to reflect His holiness, to reflect His righteousness. You see the three parts? Created in His image, He's given us three parts to remain holy in. As the image of God, we are created to reflect His holiness, His righteousness, His purity. These are all His characteristics. You know, your purpose is to carry His image, to carry His holiness, to carry His righteousness. And the only way to do that is through faith in Jesus Christ. That you recognize that you have violated Him. You've gone against His purpose and allowed sin into your life. And recognize that Jesus Christ, God Himself, came to die for your sins, to offer payments. And you call upon Him for salvation. And what did He say He does? He exchanges your sinfulness for His holiness. I'm as holy as Jesus is. When God looks down at me, I'm as holy as Jesus is in the eye of the Father. Not in practice, In practice, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Now, the rest of the song, I don't know, but I think Larissa could sing it to us. In practice, I'm still trying to grow. But because of faith in Jesus Christ, because I repented of my sins, called upon the name of Jesus for salvation, he looks at me and he sees the blood of Jesus upon me and he sees the holiness of God. But if I had never placed faith in Jesus Christ, never called on him for salvation, I'm still trapped in my sins. I'm still separated from his holiness, separated from God because of my sinfulness. It's an important little bit of addition at the end here that we got to understand, especially as parents or going to be parents someday. When we are told to reproduce and to fill the earth, it's not just a command to have babies. And when I get to this section, my son starts to worry a lot because he thinks I'm going somewhere I'm not. You feel a little better now? When he tells us to reproduce and fill the earth, it's not just about having babies. That's not what God is saying. It's not to just make a bunch of critters if you can. What he's telling you to do, because when he commanded that, we were still in holiness. There was no sin on earth yet. We had not fallen yet. What he's telling you to do is, I want you to reproduce my image. I created you in my image. Now I want you to fill the earth with my image. You see how much more responsibility we have when we raise our kids now? It's not just raising them to be good citizens, to make a lot of money, to do the right thing. We are responsible to raise them to reflect the image of God, to raise them to live in holiness, to raise them to live in righteousness, to raise them to live in purity. You see, that's what we are called to do as parents. Is to raise them up in righteousness, teach them to have that relationship where they walk and talk with God. You see, when we sinned and we violated the holiness of God, we broke the purpose for which God created us. And we got to remember, what do we deserve? The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. That's what we deserve. Think you're a good person? Just ruined your day. We deserve to be cast away, done with. This is where God showed his deepest love. And Romans 5:8 tells us, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't about you fixing yourself and you becoming holy again. It wasn't you proving your righteousness and proving that you're worth it. God came in human form while you were rebellious to his sinfulness. He said, I love you enough that I'm going to pay for your sinfulness. I'm going to be holiness for you. And so he lived on the earth 33 years. And he was still a spotless lamb. He had never sinned. He could offer his righteousness to you and I because he didn't deserve death. He had never sinned. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. And he had never done that. But he loved us so much that he came to earth to offer salvation to us so that we can place faith in him and that he'll make us holy again. And as he makes us holy again, his call for us is to be ye holy, for I am holy. That I made you holy, now I want you to practice holiness. I want you to live holiness. Because I'm your Father, I am holy. I have made you holy by title because you came by faith. Now you start being conformed to his image and you start living in holiness. And when we start living in holiness, we start bearing his image. And we start teaching his image. And we start representing who he is. You see, that fulfills his purpose. the fullness, the purpose of Christ is fulfilled in you and I when our lives represent Him. Now, let me just remind you. He didn't call you to be God's image at church. He called you to be God's image at church. He called you to be God's image at home. He called you to be God's image at church. I'm sorry, at school. He called you to be God's image at work. He called you to be God's image in your garage. He called you to be God's image when you're mowing the lawn. When you're shopping. Why? Because the scripture tells us we're His ambassadors. We're representatives of Him everywhere we go. You want to fulfill your image that God has created you for? You draw an eye unto God and watch Him create you, make you holy. Change your life. Transform you. What does that mean? He separates you from the world. He separates you like He does light from darkness. And you will stand out and you will be His image. You will be seen as His image in this world. You are God's greatest creation. If I have said it again, I will. You are God's greatest creation. Of all creation, you're who He talked about the most. How He created man and woman. You're the one that He covered up with flesh to come and rescue. You're the one that He's gone to prepare a place for. You're the one He wants fellowship with. You're the one He breathed life into. He wants a relationship with you. He wants fellowship with you. When we say God loves you, it shouldn't be this empty little God loves you. He just said, listen, God created you for His own enjoyment. God created you for His own fellowship. And He wants you to carry His image. Would you stand with me? We're going to close in a song today. We serve a great God. We can't say that about ourselves. When we start bragging about how good we are and how great we are and how much good things we have done, the truth is we fail God every day. Every day thoughts go through my mind that shouldn't be there. Every day I say something I shouldn't say. Say, oh, what a horrible pastor. Well, mind your own business. In fact, you're your own life. Every day I have to come to Him and say, Lord, help me. Help me. But you know what I can brag about? God has always been faithful to me. God has never failed me. God has never lied to me. God has never given me one word in His word that is not true. So when I want to brag, I'm going to brag about His faithfulness. Let's sing this together. hope you've experienced.